And right now, we are going to talk with Ayana Singh. And Ayana has just done some remarkable things. She is going into 10th grade at North Allegheny, and her work has been honored by the Pittsburgh Regional Science and Engineering Fair. She's also received some other honors that we'll talk about, but I'd like you to get to know her first as a person, and then we'll talk a bit about her work. Good morning, Ayana. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. First of all, before I forget, is there anybody you might like to acknowledge or that's encouraged you with this work along the way?
Yeah, my parents are already here, so they're already supporting me on, and just the rest of my family, my sister at home, my grandma, my grandparents.
That's great. Before talking about your project, what other kinds of things do you like to do? Do you have favorite subjects, sports, anything like that?
Oh, my favorite subject is science, and I like to read books. I also participate in debate, research, and my first priority, of course, is to bother my little sister.
How old is your sister?
She's 6 years old.
What's her name?
Amira.
It's nice to hear that. What would you do to bother her, do you think? I used to have ways as the youngest brother of three brothers. I loved bothering my older brothers.
We can act like Tom and Jerry sometimes.
So when did you discover you had a love of science?
Yeah, so I had been doing science fair since seventh grade. But then last year, I was inspired to research autism from my younger cousin who lives in India. She's 6 years old, the same age as my sister. And I always see my aunt, uncle struggle a little bit to find the best pathways to support her, provide the right treatments and therapy. So I wanted to help with that.
So she was diagnosed with autism?
Yeah, she is diagnosed.
And you mentioned that they struggled. People struggle everywhere,
yeah.
Right? Autism is, I mean, there are lots of cases where it's hard to find what works best.
Right.
But autism is particularly hard, I think, because it can be present in so many different forms. It can be difficult to diagnose. And what works, I don't know if this is true, but I imagine it's a lot of trial and error.
Yeah, for sure. It's mainly like social behavior and teaching them communication, especially my younger cousin who is mostly nonverbal, so it's things like that for her.
So here you are wanting to apply principles of science, you know, hypotheses, testing, proofs. How did you approach your science project?
Yeah, so what I ended up doing is currently one of the things like we discussed is identifying the right treatments and therapies. So part of that, part of the way that they are diagnosed and diagnose the severity of what they have and et cetera, is the ADOS, or the Autism Diagnostic Observation Schedule. This relies on behavior observation and interviewing them, et cetera. So the problem with these type of tools is there's no neurobiological biomarker. So I wanted to approach that. And what I did is I researched.
You're doing great. What is a biomarker? Tell me what would you, if there could be one, what would it do?
Oh, yeah. So what I ended up doing is I found fMRI scans. So those are like a type of MRI scan which analyze blood flow in particular. And I used that from a public database, which had fMRI scans from people on the spectrum. So that gave me a deeper perspective into what's actually going on, which parts of their brain interact when they're like talking and things like that.
So when you had used the term neurological biomarker, did I get that right?
Yeah.
And so that would be more or less a standard or some kind of objective way of sort of giving you a yes-no answer or getting you closer to a yes-no answer. And none existed, but you discovered by looking at these existing scans that there might be a way to use that existing data to come up with that. That's amazing. And
Thank you.
Forgive me for interrupting. I just want to be sure we understand. So you took these scans, and what did you discover?
Yeah, so I trained a decision tree-based model called the random forest classifier. So I trained it, I tested it with these scans, and there were also other variables like their social communication scores. So with that, I made it try to predict autism severity, like the severity of autism in individual.
Yeah.
And it was able to do so with 88% accuracy, so it was pretty good. And now what it can be used to, you can input an fMRI scan from any individual, and then it can guess its best to predict the severity, and then you can use that to find the best treatment, therapy. It's just a deeper perspective into the brain, basically.
That is simply amazing. Was it able to help your cousin?
It's right now, it definitely needs to be further developed. People also need to get the fMRI scan, so there are things like that. But people at Pitt, researchers at Pitt are also looking into it and across the world trying to find something like this.
Part of me wonders why this has never been pursued before. To your knowledge, are you the first to think of applying these scans in this way?
People are very curious about these scans. Some scientists have some doubts about them, whether or not they actually mean something. It needs to be further explored. So people are exploring it in different ways for different diseases and disorders, but I wanted to kind of explore it in autism.
So I'm curious about the data set. I guess that's what you would call. So you have scans you don't know yourself who they belong to, I guess, because that would be private information. But if you are working as a researcher, the organization probably can help you with your correlations, I guess, to help you know whether your model is right or not. You need to know how you did, so to speak. Roughly how many different scans did it take to get a big enough N to let you do a model, you know, enough samples?
Yeah, I think it was like around 200. There was only one data set. It's called the Autism Brain Imaging Database Exchange.
Okay, so these are people that probably have volunteered to be part of this.
Yeah.
So you can probably take this data set, get access to it almost like a library book work with it. Very interesting. Did you actually look at the images?
Oh, yeah. They were really cool.
Wow. So I'm just trying to wrap my head around what you look for and how you even begin to draw conclusions. Can you walk us through how you did it?
Yeah, so there are other people who obviously researched it. So they use certain benchmarks, and then I made sure that I was able to use the same benchmarks. There are some pretty standard tests, like there's like a p-value, which should be under like 0.05, things like that. So those are basic metrics to make sure the model is working.
Just amazing. Did you do anything? So once you got this model, you tested it, you saw with about 80%+ accuracy, I think you said 88, it could predict the characteristics of autism, I guess, and therefore ideas about effective treatment. Are there other things? I want to talk just a little bit more about what you've accomplished and then move on to next steps. But what else? Are there other things you've done as part of this that we should mention?
I did get interviewed by Autism Connection, which is a nonprofit here in Pennsylvania. And I'm also interning. After I did this research, I reached out to our community and a couple of nonprofits. I noticed that one of the listeners mentioned Moondogs. Moondog is actually, the founder of Moondogs is also a founder of another nonprofit named Band Together Pittsburgh.
So yes, yes.
I interned there as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic that you brought that up. So if you're just joining us, by the way, this is Ayana Singh, who is 15 and is about to enter 10th grade at North Allegheny High School, or North Allegheny Intermediate High School. you know, I learned that very clearly when I showed up at the wrong place once to give a little talk out there. This is miraculous. The
Thank
folks
you.
You're working with must be just blown away by the work you're doing. What would you like to do next? Because it just sounds like there's so much further. I mean, you've gotten very far, but there's so many more places you can go.
Yeah, so I'm working on a couple of things. One of the things is I'm writing a research paper for this to be peer-reviewed by researchers such as researchers at Pitt. And then I'm also working on a nonprofit called Equal Speaks, which I hope its mission would be to uplift neurodivergent voices by offering public speaking workshops, interviews with speech-language pathologists, and I'm also working on an app as my next project, part of it.
And that's Equal Speaks, and
yep.
You'll find Equal Speaks at Instagram, at Equal Speaks, and I'm glad you're working on a nonprofit. It seems these days neurodivergence is discussed more often, is thought about more often when it comes to jobs and interactions. I'm not sure that presence of neurodivergence is necessarily greater than it used to be, but some say that. I think my sense is folks are just recognizing and responding to it more. Do you have an opinion about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. For centuries, people have shunned people with neurodivergence or like forced them to act a certain way, you know, force them to behave how society should behave and not acknowledge that they have something. So it's great that we're finally catching up. We're finally researching about it.
Do you have peers who have talked to you about their own characteristics and have found the work you're doing I would imagine it would fill you with great hope?
Yeah, I would definitely want to talk with more of my peers at school. But interning at two nonprofits, Band Together Pittsburgh and Autism Pittsburgh as well, which is another one, has also led me to talk to a lot of adults on the spectrum who are artists and looking like musicians too and are looking to, you know, make an impact in the world and make a world a better place.
I wonder too, and your work is science-based, but there's so much stigma associated with autism, and I hope that your work tries to help or succeeds in helping people understand autism better. Potentially, it would show people there are other people who are like me and who think that way. And if you extrapolate the work you're doing, if it keeps getting tighter and tighter in terms of the identification, it seems like the potential, I'd use the word treatment, the strategies to help people with autism are going to get better and better. what exciting work
you.
that you're doing. So fast forwarding, I can't imagine what's next for you. Have you thought about what you might want to do after graduating?
I hope to major in neuroscience and work on that. And I'm also working on an app, as I told you before, which also helps nonverbal people. I'm planning on, it's called AAC app, but I want to incorporate AI into it. AAC is augmentative and alternative communication, which basically are tools to help people talk. So I want AI to use that and learn from a user's frequently used words, responses, adapt to that, and kind of predict what they want to say, even if they can't say it themselves.
And this would be not for people who are physically unable to speak or neurologically unable to speak, but for those who, for whatever reason, might not engage with other people within what are considered the norms of conversation.
Right.
Fascinating. So the app, for a person who might shut down when they're in a group of people or at work and they're trying to come up with a solution for a particular issue, and somebody in the group that tends to shut down when they're in a setting like that, but if they're working alone, is superb at solving those kinds of problems, this app would help that person participate authentically during the meeting?
Yeah, there are 25 to 30% of people on the spectrum are nonverbal, just like my younger cousin, and they're trying to teach them how to learn through these tools. So it's a little bit more on like, if they can't speak for whatever reason, we don't know entirely, right, with people on the spectrum, then it's basically a speech generating device where you could say like, what do you want to eat? I want to eat pizza and stuff. And then further, it could be developed where it could be used in the workplace, that if they have some ideas which they can't communicate, then they could like brainstorm here and then figure it out and then select a response and say it.
Wow. I'm amazed at the ideas you're coming up with, and I'm sure everybody around you is
too.
Did you have other inspiration besides your six-year-old cousin?
I actually have been working on teaching piano to a couple of kids around me who are on the spectrum. I did teach a girl last summer, too, so that's also really nice for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. What about in terms of science and creativity and just wrapping your head around these problems? That does not come naturally to everybody. It seems to have come really naturally to you and passionately too.
Yeah.
How did you learn to look at the world differently yourself?
I think definitely my family have always been supporting me, and seeing my younger cousin and wanting, like, seeing a thing which affects us so close to you, then that really motivated me to just research a little bit, step out of my comfort zone a little bit, and just get into it and see what happens.
It's remarkable. I hope you'll never stop.
Thank you.
And unless you're ready to, but I mean, I just think you have so much that you've already accomplished. Ayana Singh is who we've been speaking with. She's 15 and will enter 10th grade this coming school year. You can look for her on Instagram at Equal Speaks. It's a nonprofit or will become a nonprofit soon. And we've put links to the article that she mentioned from Autism of Pennsylvania and some additional links at our website. Is there anything else you would like to add?
That sounds great. Yeah. I have nothing to add.
Thank you. I am really grateful you've got to be a pretty busy person. So thank you for being able to take time to be with us today.
It's my pleasure.